Welcome to the Deep Dive. I am so glad you are joining us today because we have something really incredible to get into. Today is March 10th, 2026, and we actually managed to get our hands on an advanced stack of tech reports.
Yeah, the Tekken Army Morning Digest.
Exactly, the Tekken Army Digest, which, you know, isn't even slated to hit the public wire until tomorrow morning. So we were getting a really exclusive early look here.
Honestly, just looking through these advance sheets, it really feels like the computing paradigms we were all relying on just 12 months ago have been completely rewritten overnight.
Totally rewritten.
I mean, the velocity of hardware iteration right now is just staggering. For the past couple of years, the entire conversation in the tech space has been dominated by software, right?
Right. Generative models, cloud algorithms, large language parameters.
Exactly. But what we are looking at today in the stack of reports is the physical infrastructure finally catching up to those software demands. In some cases, it's actually surpassing them. We are talking about fundamental leaps in physics and silicon.
Just to give you a quick roadmap of the sheer scale of what we are covering today, we are looking at desktop processors achieving quantum-like speeds without, you know, melting through your desk.
Which is a real concern.
Right. And we have smartphones that are pushing right up against the absolute literal boundaries of semiconductor physics. Plus, we're going to explore smart home ecosystems that literally watch how you walk through a room.
And highly personalized AI that can draft an email based on a fleeting promise you made to your boss like 2 years ago.
It's wild. And while those might sound like six totally distinct isolated tech leaps, the mission statement for today's deep dive is to connect the dots across all of them.
Because there is a very profound unifying thread running through all of this.
Definitely. We're going to figure out how massive localized computational power in 2026 is completely erasing the boundaries between our physical reality and the digital matrix. The raw hardware sitting in our pockets and on our desks right now is fundamentally changing what it means to interact with the world.
It really is.
Okay, let's unpack this. I want to start with the hardware revolution that is making all of this even possible. Let's look at the leaked specs for the Oppo Find X 10.
Yeah, this is an excellent starting point because it just shifts our entire baseline for mobile performance. The Find X 10 is utilizing the TSMC 2-nanometer architecture.
Which is mind-blowing.
It really is. Right. And it's specifically powered by the MediaTek Dimensity 9600 chip.
2 nanometers. Now, I know we throw these microscopic measurements around a lot in the tech space, but we need to pause on that. To use an analogy, packing billions of transistors into a subatomic space like that isn't just a basic manufacturing upgrade. It's like trying to build a fully functioning city on the head of a pin.
That's a great way to put it. It requires rethinking the actual science of the silicon itself.
Right.
And what's fascinating here is the practical outcome of that density. Shrinking to 2-nanometer translates directly into a 20% increase in raw processing speed.
Which you'd expect, sure.
But more importantly, it results in a massive 40% reduction in energy consumption, specifically for generative AI tasks.
A 40% reduction. That is a complete game changer for how you and I actually use these devices. With this architecture, you can run complex image generation models like Stable Diffusion entirely locally on your phone in under 1 second.
Without touching the cloud.
Without touching the cloud at all. And because of that steep drop in energy consumption, the Digest notes that we are officially looking at the end of battery anxiety.
Yes.
We are entering an era where phones can last over 3 days on a single charge, and that is under heavy localized processing loads.
But getting to this point was an absolute engineering nightmare. When you shrink transistors down to 2 nanometers, you are essentially fighting quantum mechanics.
Because things just don't behave the same way at that scale.
Exactly. You run into severe issues with structural stability. The most notorious hurdle they faced is a phenomenon known as electron tunneling.
Right, I was reading about this.
At that microscopic scale, the physical barriers between the internal components are so unimaginably thin that electrons can literally just jump the gaps.
They just bypass the walls.
They refuse to stay in their lanes. And that caused the short circuits and severe power inefficiencies.
You essentially have quantum physics actively trying to stop your smartphone from working.
Pretty much. But Oppo and MediaTek solved this by implementing completely new materials for their transistor gates to contain those electrons. They have successfully built a pocket supercomputer.
But wait, if you have that much localized power packed into such a tiny space, how do you keep a 2-nanometer chip from just turning the phone into a piece of molten glass in your hand?
That is where the active magnetic cooling system comes in.
Ah.
Traditional vapor chambers just aren't enough for the thermal density of a 2-nanometer chip. So this new magnetic cooling mechanism physically manipulates the thermal dissipation at a microscopic level. It's an incredible technical statement.
It really is the first true subatomic consumer chip. But let's look at what happens when you take that exact same philosophy of shrinking hardware and apply it to a machine that doesn't have the thermal and battery constraints of a smartphone. Let's pivot over to the desktop.
Yes, the new AMD chips.
Exactly. AMD has officially unveiled their Ryzen AI PRO 400 series chips for the AM5 socket.
And the capabilities here are just paradigm shifting. AMD has integrated a neural processing unit, or NPU, that hits 50 TOPS.
That stands for trillion operations per second, for those keeping track. Just to put that 50 TOPS number into context for you, back in 2025, which was literally last year, hitting 40 TOPS was the absolute dream standard for high-end, ultra-thin laptops.
Right.
Now, AMD has dropped a staggering 50 TOPS right into the heart of desktop workstations with their flagship Ryzen AI 5 440GE, which is built on a 4-nanometer architecture and features 6 cores and a Radeon 840M GPU.
It's a massive leap.
But let me play devil's advocate for a second here. If I am building a desktop rig today, I probably already have a giant, expensive graphics card taking up half my PC case. Why do I even need a dedicated NPU on the processor? Isn't the GPU powerful enough to handle AI?
You would think so, but it comes down to a concept called layered efficiency. What's fascinating here is that GPUs are fantastic, but they are brute force instruments designed for high precision rendering.
They draw the graphics.
Exactly. NPUs, on the other hand, are specifically optimized to handle low precision floating point operations.
Okay.
These are the exact mathematical calculations critical for AI inference. So by offloading those specific repetitive AI calculations to the NPU, your GPU is completely freed up to do what it was originally designed to do, which is render incredible graphics.
That makes a lot of sense. And the gaming implications for that are just staggering. The Digest mentions developers are already utilizing agentic AI right inside the game engine.
Yes, the NPC behavior.
Right. Because the NPU is handling the logic, you can have non-playable characters, NPCs, that actually think, adapt, and strategize locally at the speed of light, all without causing your frame rate to drop.
It changes game design fundamentally.
It really does. But honestly, beyond the gaming side, the most critical takeaway here for the listener is what this means for absolute privacy.
Precisely. AMD isn't just releasing a new chip. They are fundamentally decentralizing AI. We are moving away from a reality where you have to rent brain power from a massive server farm out in Nevada.
Because with 50 TOPS on your desk, you can run large language models entirely locally.
With near zero latency. Your prompts, your data, your personal files, none of it ever has to leave your local system.
So AMD has basically planted their flag at the peak of what the industry is calling TOPS per watt. And they are aggressively dominating Intel and NVIDIA on that specific front. We are looking at the rebirth of personal computing in a post-cloud era.
It's true hardware independence.
But speaking of the post-cloud era, let's explore what happens when this kind of massive, localized processing power bleeds out of our computers and into the physical architecture of our living spaces.
We are definitely moving from devices you actively engage with to environments that passively monitor and anticipate you.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Let's look at the leaked specs for the Apple HomePad, which is slated to launch in late 2026.
This is a wild piece of hardware.
It really is. This is not just an iPad that you slap onto your refrigerator door.
Yeah.
We are talking about an 8-inch screen that uses a magnetic MagSafe-style mount to attach seamlessly directly to the walls of your home.
And the software driving it is what really stands out. It's a heavily modified version of Home OS. What is particularly notable is that this operating system is built around a very surprising collaboration between Apple and Google.
Right. They are utilizing Gemini-driven voice and visual interactions.
Exactly. The ultimate goal here is ambient intelligence.
It's designed to be the invisible command center for your entire home. The HomePad utilizes these incredibly advanced motion sensors that detect your physical presence in the room.
Right, it watches you.
Literally. As you walk closer to the screen or further away from it, the user interface dynamically adjusts its layout and font size based on your exact distance.
And if we connect this to the bigger picture, ambient intelligence goes far beyond just a dynamic display screen. The system is deeply integrated with your existing wearable ecosystem.
Give me an example of how that works.
So, for instance, the HomePad can passively detect your heart rate from your Apple Watch, determine if you are stressed or overheated, and then autonomously adjusts the room's ambient temperature based on that biometric data.
Okay, that level of convenience is incredible.
Mm.
But I have to admit, the idea of the walls of my home literally having eyes and tracking my biometrics as I walk down the hallway is a bit unsettling.
It definitely blurs the line between comfort and surveillance.
How is Apple justifying that level of surveillance in a consumer product?
They are relying heavily on a structural concept called federated learning. All of this AI processing happens locally on custom A-series chips, likely a modified A18 built right into the device.
So the data stays on the wall, basically.
Exactly. The device learns the specific habits of everyone in the house. It can actually learn the difference in music tastes between family members just by observing how you move through the physical space over time.
Wow.
But crucially, federated learning means the device learns those patterns without ever uploading the raw video or audio data to an external server.
So they are banking entirely on their secure walled garden. They want to bring all your smart home equipment under localized encrypted processing so the data never leaves your living room.
Yes. And this raises an important question, especially when we contrast Apple's localized hardware approach with what Google is doing on the software side. Let's look at Google's newly unveiled personal intelligence, or PI.
Right, Google PI. This is the evolution of Gemini from a standard conversational chatbot into an entirely different classification of software altogether.
It really is. Google PI is built for end-to-end integration across your entire digital ecosystem. Docs, Gmail, Calendar, Meet, it's everywhere.
It essentially constructs a customized language model that isn't just pulling from the general internet. It is specifically tuned to the exact parameters of your individual life.
The underlying architecture making this possible is called Generation 4 RAG.
That's context-aware retrieval.
Exactly. And this is powered by a mechanism Google is calling contextual ghosting. To understand this without all the technical jargon, imagine an AI that sits invisibly in the background of every single digital action you take.
It never turns off.
Never. It is constantly building a digital twin of your workflow with an infinite perfect memory.
The report gives a really perfect example of how this plays out in real time. Say you are sitting in a Google Meet session. PI is running silently in the background, listening to the conversation. It can autonomously categorize the key points of the meeting, cross-reference them with old projects you have buried deep in Google Docs, and then draft a perfectly formatted response email to a colleague based on a casual promise you made to your manager back in 2024.
It remembers everything.
Okay.
It is entirely focused on predictive friction reduction. Google states this system can anticipate which file you will need to open next or how you will naturally want to respond to a specific message with 90% accuracy.
90% is wild. It is an undeniable boost to daily productivity for anyone using it, but it also means you are essentially handing over the absolute control of your life narrative to an algorithm.
Right. You are trading privacy for convenience.
Google is promising end-to-end encryption for all of this data, of course, but as we know in the tech sector, access precedes security.
Always.
If the cloud is processing your entire life to build that digital twin, the cloud inherently has to have access to it.
And that is the ultimate trade-off of the 2026 computing landscape. You are being offered a staggering reward in personal automation and efficiency. But the currency you are paying with is absolute transparency to Google's cloud infrastructure.
The industry battle really isn't about who has the smartest general AI anymore. Mm-hmm. It is entirely about who has the most deeply personalized AI. Are you willing to trade a 10% boost in your daily productivity for having your entire digital footprint mapped out as mathematical vectors on a server farm?
It is a heavy trade-off for anyone to make.
It is. But let's shift gears a bit. We've talked about mapping human behavior. Let's talk about mapping physical reality itself. Let's dive into the virtualization of heavy infrastructure.
This brings us to Synopsys and their newly detailed Electronics Digital Twin, or EDT, platform.
Yes.
This is a monumental leap for the automotive and manufacturing industries, and it is entirely powered by Amazon's AWS Graviton 4 chips.
We are talking about absolute virtualization here. According to the Morning Digest, 90% of the software and hardware tests for a new smart car are now conducted in a simulated environment.
Before a single physical bolt is ever tightened on a physical assembly line.
Which is hard to even conceptualize.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, we really need to clarify what a simulated environment actually means in this specific context. This isn't just a basic 3D model on a screen.
Right.
It is molecularly accurate. The physics engine handling the simulation accounts for the exact material stress of the metal, the thermal dynamics of the battery under specific weather conditions, sensor degradation over years of use, and incredibly complex real-time traffic behaviors.
And because they are leveraging the immense cloud processing power of Graviton 4, engineers can run these stress tests millions of times per second.
Exactly.
The tangible outcome of that computing power is almost hard to wrap your head around. A vehicle rolling off the assembly line in 2026 essentially possesses 100 years of driving experience at the exact moment of its birth.
Because it's lived a century in the simulation.
Exactly. And by virtualizing the physics, Synopsys has slashed the development time for new smart vehicles from 5 years down to just 18 months.
It is a complete paradigm shift for manufacturing. There is literally no longer a functional, mathematical difference between testing a car on the physical streets of London or testing it on Amazon's cloud servers.
It's the same data.
It is. And this represents a profound shift in the workforce itself. The institutional power in the auto industry has moved completely away from traditional physical mechanics and firmly into the hands of parallel processing engineers and digital physics experts.
Everything is built and perfected in silicon long before it is allowed to exist in the physical world.
Exactly.
But to bring this concept of absolute virtualization back to something a little more consumer friendly, let's talk about the gaming space, specifically Pokemon.
This is a really fascinating pivot because the underlying computational principles in this game are shockingly similar to what Synopsys is doing with heavy infrastructure.
Nintendo has officially unveiled a massive new project for the Switch 2 launch titled Pokemon Pocopia.
Right.
It is categorized as a cozy life sim, very much in the vein of Animal Crossing. The objective is to build a cooperative village for your Pokemon rather than battling them. But do not let that cute aesthetic fool you for a second.
The technical power required to run this game is immense.
It really is. It utilizes the NVIDIA architecture of the Switch 2, bringing DLSS 3.5 and ray reconstruction to a handheld console for the very first time.
Which sounds impossible.
I know. How does that actually work on a portable device without instantly draining the battery?
That is where the AI comes in. The Switch 2 isn't actually rendering all those complex water physics and lighting reflections natively. DLSS 3.5 and ray reconstruction use localized AI to essentially hallucinate the missing pixels in real time.
It's a technical magic trick?
It's a brilliant magic trick. It allows a handheld device to punch like a massive desktop rig. It can render the realistic feel of a sunrise or dynamic global illumination using ray tracing, all heavily optimized on that next-gen Tegra chip.
But the graphics engine isn't even the most impressive part of this leak. It's the AI behavioral engine.
Yes.
These Pokemon develop unique digital personalities using reinforcement learning. They aren't just following a pre-written script of dialogue loops. They actually learn from how you interact with them and how you manipulate the environment.
They adapt to you.
Right. They figure out how to help you optimize your virtual farm, or they learn specific playful behaviors purely based on what actions make you, the player, react positively.
This is a brilliant application of hardware sovereignty. The raw TOPS power we discussed earlier with AMD isn't just being used for higher resolution textures anymore. It's being channeled into what the gaming industry is now calling emotional immersion.
Emotional immersion.
Yes. You are interacting with digital entities that learn, adapt, and respond to your specific psychological patterns in real time.
Add in the deep social layer where you can live in this seamless, persistent world with your friends, and it is very clear why the Digest is calling this a blue ocean strategy for Nintendo.
It really marks the definitive end for 8th-generation consoles.
Even a cozy, relaxing game now requires immense localized compute power just to run its behavioral algorithms.
Which perfectly encapsulates the overarching theme of this entire morning digest.
So what does this all mean? When you look at this entire stack of advanced reports, it all comes down to hardware sovereignty. Think about it. Software, algorithms, and predictive models are completely meaningless without the brute force of cutting-edge silicon to actually run them.
Hardware is the foundation.
Exactly. Whether it is Oppo fundamentally altering semiconductor physics with a 2-nanometer architecture, AMD dropping 50 TOPS of AI processing directly onto your desk, or AWS Graviton 4 chips running molecularly accurate digital twins of cars, the hardware is the unshakable foundation of this new reality.
We are living in an era where our physical homes, our transportation, and even our most intimate digital memories are being entirely virtualized. And in a landscape like that, computational power is the only tangible asset that matters. The physical world is slowly being swallowed by code, and that code requires immense localized silicon power to execute efficiently.
It is a lot to process. But before we wrap up today's deep dive, we want to leave you with a final thought to mull over.
Something to think about as all this rolls out.
Exactly. We've spent a lot of time today talking about hardware sovereignty and the power of owning your own localized processing. We've seen how our smart homes, our personal intelligence apps, and even our digital pets are perfectly predicting our needs and learning our behaviors through advanced reinforcement learning.
They're optimizing around us.
But here is the provocative thought we want to leave you with. If the environments and systems around us are flawlessly predicting our next moves, anticipating our emails, and adjusting the temperature before we even realize we're hot, at what point do we stop being the player and start becoming the predictable NPCs in our own highly optimized lives?
Are we the ones being programmed now?
It really makes you wonder, do you want to sync your digital soul with Gemini for total efficiency, or do you want to just escape to the digital islands of Pocopia? It's something you're going to have to decide very soon.
The hardware is here either way.
It certainly is. Thank you so much for taking this deep dive with us today. Keep questioning the tech around you, and we will catch you on the next one.